Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. Welcome everyone that's listening all over the world, all over the United States, here locally, here in Georgia. We'd like to welcome you to another Tuesday night Bible study with Praise Tabernacle Church, where our pastor is Bishop Omar Zachary and his lovely wife, Lady Zachary, and the family. I am your host, Elder Richard Lee Taylor IV. I will be your host tonight. And again, I just want to say welcome. As I sit here and looking forward towards the word tonight, as I sit here, my wife is sitting here with me as we are preparing to go into the word tonight and have a good time. And I just want to welcome all the saints of Praise Tabernacle that is listening tonight, and everyone over in Germany and in London and the Bahamas. Anywhere and everywhere that you could be listening to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study tonight on Chaos Blog Talk Radio. And I'd like to welcome a new friend to the listening audience tonight. Her name is Mary Jones. She is the mother of a co-worker of mine, a manager of mine on my job. She says she just got her mother to start listening to the Praise Tabernacle Bible Study on last week. She's in town with her daughter, and I just want to say welcome, Mary Jones, to our listening audience tonight. And I want to say welcome to our panel. I believe we have Minister Tolbert on the line, Evangelist Stanton is on the line, Elder Oliver is on the line, myself, my wife is on the line, and we just want to say welcome. And we just want everybody to just have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying unto you, and that you can get a nugget out of the Word tonight. We got another dynamic speaker tonight, a woman that's very blessed and anointed to teach the Word, and I love listening to her teach and speak, you know. And I just want you to be able to get something out of it. And her husband, Elder Lee Stanton, we just love them, and we just want to encourage her as she begins, and give you the word on tonight. I'm gonna say a quick prayer, and then right after that, Evangelist Stanton, the Bible study will be in your hands. So Lord, we thank you, we give you glory, we give you honor, we magnify your holy name. We pray that you have a nugget for someone tonight, Lord God, that you will encourage someone tonight, that someone that's hurting can be encouraged tonight. Someone that needs to hear a word or something from one of the panel members, Lord God, that will encourage them to keep pushing, to keep pressing on, Lord God, in you, Lord God. We just want to say thank you. And we pray that someone that don't even know you that's listening for the first time tonight or the second time tonight wants you to be their Lord and Savior. They hear something that wants you to be their Lord and Savior, that you can come into their life and bless them and their families even the more. We give you glory. We give you all the honor, Lord God, for it's not us that working within ourselves, but it's you that working within us. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. And we pray that you create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within any and everyone that's under the sound of my voice tonight, Lord God. And that you touch the speaker tonight, Lord God. Give her a free course, Lord God. Help her, Lord God, and guide her through the spirit of the Holy Ghost to teach and speak your word in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Evangelist Stanton, it's in your hands.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Taylor. I definitely appreciate you. We are so excited that each and every one of you are joining us on tonight. We thank and praise God for his holy and his righteous word. And every week I always encourage you to please get your pencils, your paper, and your Bible. Don't just take our word for it, but go back and study it as well. Study it for yourself. Study to see if this word on tonight is for you, to see if it's specifically for you. Or study it also to know in case somebody else is going through this situation and may need this word so that you would have something available to give to them. This Bible study tonight kind of came out of our Bible study that we had on last week that Elder Oliver taught. He talked about discipleship on last week, and that really has been pricking my heart about discipleship. And one of the things he said about being a disciple is being teachable, And I thought about us in our Christian walk. Do we just go to God just to get things from God? Or do we go to God because we really do want to be like Christ? And one of the elements of discipleship that I'm going to talk about tonight is forgiveness. Because we talked a little bit about it last week, but it's just been on my heart. So I just wanted to kind of dive into it again on tonight. So let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We are going to start at verse 21. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Now, I want to kind of give you just a little bit of backdrop. We may do some line upon line, precept upon precept, but we may veer a little bit away from that to talk about forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, we find the disciples talking to Jesus and Jesus answering their questions and speaking to the disciple in parables. And if we all understand what a parable is, it's basically a story to break down an idea, but where people can understand it, So in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, we find Peter coming to Jesus and asking him this question as Jesus has been talking previously. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?'" And I thought it was curious that Peter came with this question and ask, should I forgive him seven times? And verse 22 says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, I was curious as to where did the seven times come from. But in my study, it took me back up to verse 15, 16, and 17. Verse 15 says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Okay, that's one. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. That's two. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. That's three. So from what I got out of this in my research, theologians are basically saying Peter kind of was coming up with that number because Jesus had told him to forgive those three different times. But Peter, being who Peter was, decided, well, you know what? I'm going to multiply that number and go a little bit higher than what Jesus said and see if that's correct. So that's how Peter came up with seven times. What he did was he kind of multiplied the number and added one more to it to make seven. From what I got out of my study. So that's why he said seven times. But Jesus came back and said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And we know that 70 times seven is 490 times. So Jesus is saying to him, no, don't just forgive seven times, but forgive 70 times seven. And I begin to really just meditate on that, because if you understand sometimes when there's unforgiveness there, you kind of rehearse that unforgiveness. You rehearse it by complaining about what the person did to you. You rehearse it by keeping score in a way. Because if somebody says, you know, what did they do? You will go over that story over and over and over again. You will practice and rehearse that story over again. But shouldn't we practice and rehearse forgiveness over and over and over again? Shouldn't we say, when that thing come upon us, shouldn't we begin to say, Lord, I forgive them. Even though you haven't forgotten what is going on, shouldn't we practice over and over again, Lord, I forgive them. Teach me how to forgive them. Let me let go. Let me forgive them in my heart. Let me not rehearse the thing that they did over and over and over again. But we should practice forgiveness over and over again. Does anybody have anything they would like to say about verse 21 and 22?
I'd like to add something about the number seven. Traditionally, the number seven is the number of completion.
Yes.
And that could have been a way that Peter came up with the number seven too, you know, because, you know, it completes everything, the number seven. It's the number of completion. So 70 times seven is like multiplication of completion, you know. And so right. in order for us to be able to forgive, we have to complete the forgiveness. in our heart, in our mind, you know, the person or the persons, the multiple offenses by different people, you know, because we don't forgive. That's more on us than it's the person that we have something against. That's going, because sometimes people don't even know that you have something against them.
Right.
And so that tends to eat us up, because we're holding on to stuff, because we're harboring ill will or ill feelings towards somebody we can't let go of, we can't forgive them of, and sometimes they may not even know it.
Right.
So the forgiveness is about us, the person that needs
right.
to do the forgiveness.
Right.
It's not about the person that we have an ought against or ill will towards, or we can't let something go that they did to us. It's about us. So,
yes.
So that's all I have.
Amen. And Elder, you're right. And too often I think we don't understand that the forgiveness is for us more so than them.
Yeah.
Because we feel like if we forgive them, then we feel like we're letting them go of you know, something that they did to us. But that's
right.
not really what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
no, it's
really
not.
it's about us, because
right.
what carrying around that forgiveness can cause physical
yeah.
things in our body.
Yeah. yeah. Mental,
you know, in
physical.
Our bodies. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Ed. What did you say?
I was just saying that mental illness, physical illness,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
emotional illness, you know, how we even deal with other people, you know, because we hold on to so much unforgiveness and we can't let it go, you know.
And what you just said, how we do, go ahead, deal with other people. Go ahead. Did somebody else want something to say on the panel?
Yes, Elder Boot, I'm sorry I got on late. I got real busy, and I was able to get on just now. But also, you know, I found out that it was a long time ago with one of my best friends that he had actually done something to me. And I did forgive him. I let him know I sincerely forgave him. I never forgot, but I forgave him. And then when he went through the things he went through, we were able to have that friendship again. So it does, to me, it does count to let people know you forgive them if they see it sincere. And they may not accept it at that time, but later on in life, when they have nowhere to turn, they'll remember that. Most people will remember that. That friendship or that relationship is mended.
That's good. And even with dealing with other people with forgiveness, if you're holding on to that unforgiveness, you also will begin to make inner vows like, I'll never let anybody hurt me again, or I'll never
yeah.
let anybody get that close to me again.
Mm.
And those inner vows are not good. Those inner vows are not good, because you got to remember, words build around you. And if you begin to make inner vows like, I'll never let anybody get that close to me again, or I'll never allow somebody to touch my heart like that again, then what you're doing is you're building walls around you to keep people out. And
yeah.
then down the line, when you begin to feel lonely saying that you don't have anybody, well, you built a wall around you so that nobody could come in.
That's correct.
You know, offenses are going to happen in life. And you can't build a fence around you where you begin to keep people out. and then you going on in life and not remembering the inner vows that you began to make to yourself because you spoke those words, I'm never going to let anybody get that close to me again. Well, then you're saying you're not going to allow yourself to be loved. You're not going to allow yourself to be loved. There is offenses in life. There's hurt in life. But God can heal them so that you can still allow people in to love you, that you can still allow people to come in to be friends. Be careful of that. Think about, have you made any inner vows when you've been hurt?
Yes.
And then
yes.
Ask God to come and cut those vows at the root so that you can love, so that you can forgive, so that you can have those friendships or relationships or even, you know, family members that may have hurt you so that you can forgive them. And like Elder said, in going to the people, if you can, you don't know what it's going to bring about later on. It's going to bring reconciliation back to a friendship, or reconciliation back to a family member, or reconciliation back to a spouse. It can bring that back. So we have to be careful of that. Then we go on to verse 23. It says, therefore is the kingdom. Now this is Jesus beginning to speak in a parable to the disciples.
Right.
And it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Verse 24, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So he called for this servant to be sold, his family to be sold, probably every possession that he had to be sold, to pay back this account. But verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. So the servant was like, please, I can't pay it right now. I don't have it. Please have mercy upon me, and I'm going to pay it back. He didn't say how, you know, what he was going to do, if he had to sell any of his possessions, or if he had to drive Uber every day, or drive Lyft, you know, if he had to take a couple of hours of Lyft, if he had to go to his regular shift at McDonald's because they have a bonus of $500. He didn't say how he was going to do it. He just said, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I don't know what caused him to have compassion for him at that moment, but he did. He said, okay, you know what? I'm going to forgive you of this debt. Now, could you imagine the burden that fell off of him when he said, I forgive you. When he said, it's okay. You don't have to pay me back. When he said, it's okay. You don't have to look over your shoulders, or you don't have to look behind you, or you don't have to drive Uber or Lyft extra, you know, spend that time with your family and be with your family. Could you imagine the burden that was lifted off of him because he said, it's okay, you don't owe me? That's what it's like with us. With us, when we've done something to somebody else and we say, I'm sorry, and that person accept our apology, that's how we feel. We're like, wow, thank you. You know, you may not say much, but you're thinking, ooh, you know, I was wrong that I said that, or I was wrong that I did that, but I'm grateful that they forgave me. I'm grateful that they accepted my apology. I'm grateful that they're okay with it, you know, and they seem to be okay with it. I'm grateful. But what about us? How come we can't have that same mercy on somebody else? I mean, that burden was lifted. But then we go to verse 28. Does anybody have anything they want to say about 25, 26, or 27?
Xanthus, I have something that I want to add. This is Minister Tolbert.
Yes.
Verse 25, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold in his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. I think that looking at that verse alone, it puts emphasis on the fact that we have to be careful on what we do, because not only does it affect us, but it affects the family. Because if you see that his wrongdoing, not only was it required as a payment or a punishment for him, now it trickled down to the family. And the family didn't do anything, but it's all because of his mistakes, all because of what he did. So, for example, to put it into perspective, also if we bring it to, like, let's bring it to even the husband. That's why we got to be careful on what we do, because what we do affects our family. And not only that, wives as well. What you do affects the family, not just you. Some stuff, we only look at it as it's just my thing that I'm doing or I'm doing. No, it can go past you and affect your entire family. That's the reason why we got to be careful on what we do and how we treat people, because it can go beyond what we think. We think one way, but then that punishment goes beyond us, because that's even more punishment to see that your family is suffering all because of what you did.
Wow, that's great. That's good. That's good.
And that's all good. I have to do on that part.
No, that's good. That's good. That's good. It affects other people around us and not just us. That's good. That's a self-reflection statement. And I think some weeks ago we talked about sin and how we think our sin only affects us, but our sin affects others around us and not just us. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a self-reflecting statement.
Yeah.
What are we doing that could be hurting our families? And we think we only hurting ourselves, but it really is affecting our families. And that could be even down the line. I mean, you know, fathers to their sons and then sons to their sons, and how we keep carrying it, but it's got to stop somewhere. And
yeah,
it might as well stop with you. Mm-hmm. And it might as well stop with you. Amen. Thank you, Minister Tolbert. That was good.
Come on.
Evangelist, did you want something to say?
Yes.
Okay, let's go on to verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Now, this same man who was just forgiven, who had compassion put upon him, went out and found one of his fellow servants. He found him. He's like, he was thinking in the back of his head, you know what? Well, ooh, man, I remember I gave JoJo $100. I gave JoJo $100 about 4 months ago, and JoJo hasn't paid me my money yet. I got to go find JoJo. I got to go find him because I need that $100. So he went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. He took JoJo by the throat. And he said, pay me my money. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Just as he did with his Lord, he said, please forgive me. He fell down. He was, have patience with me. I don't have it right now. I'm begging you, please, just give me some time. I know it's been 4 months already, but just give me a little bit more time. And then verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Wow. He went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, I know when you hear this word prison, probably was a physical prison, probably said, look, he owes me money. But there is also another kind of prison. And when I was reading this, I was thinking about how many of us have cast people into prison with our words, where we begin to talk about them, where we begin to say bad things about them, where we begin, even when we are around other people, we'll say, look at Evangelist Dan. You know, we just begin to say things about them, irregardless of how the other person may feel about that person, but we just begin to talk about them. We're casting them into prison, thinking, okay, she did that thing. She didn't give me my money. Or she did something against me that I didn't even like, even though I may not know about it, that I may not like, you know. So I'm going to make her pay this debt because I'm going to talk about her. He didn't have mercy himself. When he was shown mercy, he didn't have mercy when he was shown mercy. How many of us walk around, we want God to show us mercy, but we don't want to show others mercy. We want God to forgive us, but we don't want to forgive others. We want God to wipe our slate clean, but we don't want to wipe the slate clean of others. We don't want God to record our wrongdoing, but we want to write on the chalkboard everything that you did wrong to us. We don't want God to bring it back up, but we're going to keep it in remembrance and keep bringing it to you. Think about it. I know it might have been some horrible stuff, but God wants us to let that go. Evangelist Bluette says it so well. Let it go. Does anybody have anything that they want to say up until verse 30?
Evangelist, I just want to jump in real quick. It's Elder Oliver.
Yes.
The key word that I think that you, and it just hit me when you said it, when you first started, is practice. And I never practice forgiveness. I forgive when I feel like forgiving. And that's a lot of times all that stuff that you were saying, it leads up, if we don't ever practice forgiveness, how can we have forgiveness in our heart? Well, we only forgive when we want to forgive and who we want to forgive. And I've never really thought about it like that, but practice. And in order to practice forgiveness, people are going to have to do stuff to you in order so you can get forgiveness in your heart, because practice makes perfect. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Amen.
I'd like to add something too, Evangelist Kim, this Elder Taylor. I'd like to add that, you know, and also I believe it's a reflection on your relationship with the Lord. Because if you don't know how to forgive, you know, like Elder Oliver just said, things are going to happen when you're going to have to practice forgiving. But I believe what makes it easier, don't mean that it's easy, but what makes it easier is your relationship with the Lord. Because if you can think about how the Lord forgave you, just like this man's servant, how the Lord forgave you of your sin, how the Lord forgave you and delivered you out of certain situations and circumstances that we got ourselves in when we was in the world, and that he had mercy and he had grace for us to deliver us, to set us free. And then we have the audacity not to be able to forgive someone else who has done something to us when Jesus committed the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf, you know, so that we could forgive. So that we could, well, you're not going to always forget, but knowing, but not forgetting and still being able to forgive, you know it, you know now that's how it works and that it's working. And when you let it go, when you've been delivered of people, it's easier to forgive. When you can let things go because of your relationship with the Lord, not so much because we all got it all like that, but it's because of Jesus Christ within me that allows me to release a person or a situation or a circumstance, and I can forgive this person and keep moving on. I may not forgive what happened, but I can forgive it because of my relationship with Christ, not because of just me. That is my relationship with Christ. So I think it's indicative on how we forgive is how our relationship is with the Lord. Because he forgave you, he forgave me, he forgave everybody that's listening tonight, you know, and we have to be able to move it forward to whoever has done something wrong to us, you know.
Right.
Amen. This parable brings out a lot of angles to go at on the way Jesus put it. But to piggyback off of Minister Tobert, verse 25, King threatened him about his family, about his actions and what he's done. Then you came down to verse 28. That's the man's reaction when the king said what he was going to do to him and his family. So we got to be careful what we're doing out here. Because, like Minister Tober said, it will reflect our family. And when things come to our family for what we did, we're going to go out there. That's where the saying comes from, I got to do what I got to do. Well, no, you don't. But you're in a situation that you have to do what you got to do to protect your family because of what you did. So we got to be conscious. We got to be careful of what we're doing out here away from our homes and what might come back to our homes and affect our homes. So any man that's not stable at Elder Taylor was saying, not stable in the word, not stable in the Lord. Any man that's unstable, when you threaten his family, he's going to do what he has to do to protect his family. And this particular man was doing what he had to do, or what he thought he had to do to protect his family on what he had done or had not. And, you know, God tells us not to owe man nothing, any man anything. We should be the lenders, not the borrowers. You know, so this parable brings out a lot of angles we can take tonight, a lot of angles, a lot of things to think about, but it's a great, great lesson, great lesson.
Amen, it does. You're right, Elder Blewett, it does. And I want to kind of ask the panel this question that I just kind of saw in verse 30 that I have, and maybe somebody on the panel, Elder Blue-Eyed, Elder Taylor, Elder Oliver, Evangelist, maybe one of you can answer this question. In verse 30 it says, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. How can you pay the debt when you're in prison?
I was thinking the same thing when you read that. His family?
Remember, it's a parable. This is a parable. It's actually talking about how we conduct things in our life, how we mm-hmm. maneuver in life, how we forgive in life and don't forgive in life. We can go into that prison where you're written out of the book of life. Remember, it's a parable mm-hmm. what Jesus is talking about. See?
Right.
So that debt that you could never repay for sin. Jesus done that. All he asked was that you forgive and move on. Because what Jesus was hated on, and before he gave his life up on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them for what. Now, why would he say that after all they have done to him? Why would he say that? Because that's true forgiveness, regardless of how it makes you feel or what your end state is. Right? So this is a parable, like I was saying earlier, that would make you think at different angles. So that mm-hmm. verse 30, that he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Meaning it's over for him. There's certain things we can do in this life that God will never forgive. And we'll owe that debt the rest of our lives and eternity. We'll still be on that debt. So.
Wow. Thank you. And praise God for the blood of Jesus, because he took it all upon him.
That's right.
Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw, thank you everybody on the panel. Thank you so much for your input. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came out and told unto their Lord all that was done. So the other people around him saw what he was doing. So they were like, look, we're going to go tell what we saw you do. Then 32, then his Lord after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. He said to him, you begged me to forgive you, and I forgave you of all that debt.
Mm-hmm.
33, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Shouldn't you forgive him just like I forgave you? 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. He was very angry. He was very angry that he did not forgive. So likewise shall my Heavenly Father do also unto you. If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. God is calling us to forgive. He's calling us to forgive. There was a scripture I was thinking about in Ephesians. I didn't grab the scripture. I think it's Ephesians chapter 4, but it talks about letting all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and slander and malice be put away from you, but be kind to one another, forgiving each other just as God in Christ forgave you. When we go to God and ask God to forgive us, he forgives us. And like Elder Oliver said, when I opened up, I talked about practicing forgiving others. When that thing comes upon you, you have to say, God, I forgive them. Help me let it go. Let me take it out of my heart so that I can walk in forgiveness. And instead of practicing the act of what they did against you over and over again in your mind and in your thoughts and saying it out of your mouth, you have to practice forgiveness in your mind, in your thoughts, and saying it out of your mouth. I forgive them. 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 You continue to say it, and you ask God to cut that thing at the root so that you can forgive them, because you want God to forgive you.
That's right.
You want God to forgive you. You want God to write it off. You want the blood of Jesus to cover that thing, that ugliness that we do towards God. You want him to forgive you. So you have got to forgive others. I just want to encourage everybody who's listening tonight. If there's been something that somebody has done to you, whether years ago, whether they know it, if they don't know it, if they might know it, if they intentionally know it, I want to encourage you to forgive them. I want to encourage you to forgive them. I want you also to forgive yourself. There may be some things that you've done and you know they were wrong. I want you also to forgive yourself, to go before God and ask God to forgive you, and you forgive anybody else that has hurt you. And I know there may be some things that people have done to you that may have been horrible, but there is nothing too small or too large that cannot be forgiven in Christ. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. That's a part of being a disciple, is to walk in love. Because, see, you don't want that unforgiveness to hold up your prayers, to hold up your praise, to hold up your worship, to hold up when you read the Word of God to get understanding. You don't want that unforgiveness to hold up what God has for you, because you're walking around in unforgiveness in your own prison. In a prison, that's that prison I was talking about, you're put in that prison because you're walking around and you're holding that unforgiveness, and now you can't get a prayer through because you have this unforgiveness inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive them. Forgive them.
That's right.
Forgive them. Does anyone on the panel have anything they would like to say?
Yeah, I'd like to add, there's a scripture over in Ephesians 4. You had mentioned Ephesians 4, verse 32, the last verse of that chapter 4. It's Ephesians 4 and 32,
yes.
And it reads,
yes.
And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So,
amen.
That's the scripture that we can add on to this. But that whole, if you get a chance, go back and read Ephesians 4, the whole chapter. It's a really good chapter talking about the old life and the new life in Christ Jesus. So, but I just wanted to add that one scripture in Ephesians 4. 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
Amen. Thank you, Elder Taylor. Yep, that was the scripture. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we... Go ahead, Elder.
Go ahead.
No, I was just getting ready to just kind of give some closing remarks, but you can go ahead.
It also reminds me that we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We all have to answer for the things done in our body, just as the servant. And his God's reply was that he was an evil servant, a wicked servant. And that's what we don't want God to tell us when we have to appear before him. All is said and done, and all this life is through, when the world is gone, and we have to appear before Christ. We do not want him to call us a wicked servant. But then that prison comes for the rest of eternity. So we have to be careful. And all of us listening now, we still have a chance to get it right.
Yes.
We still have a chance to do as Jesus would want us. So from this day forward, just try to comply to that. And I think you had mentioned practice.
Mm-hmm.
Practice. There's nothing wrong with practicing. Because we can't just jump into something all the time and do it right. Practice to forgive. Practice to treat people like you would want to be treated. That is the fulfillment of the law right there. Tell us as you want us to treat you. So so we have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Just keep that in mind. And we have to answer. He has all the answers. But he's going to ask you, what did you do in this instance? What did you do in that situation? He has the answer already. I don't know what's going to happen if we tell the truth, even though we know we've done something wrong. But we don't want to be in that position. So today, going forward, practice to forgive. Practice to do better. Practice to do what's
good. Amen. Great lesson.
Amen. Hey, I just want to say this quick because I never thought about it until you brought it up tonight, but practicing or walking in forgiveness, you know, I'm thinking about myself personally. If you steal an item of food from me or you take something, you know, a soda or something like that, I can forgive that all day long. But when you get personal, you, like, steal something out of my wallet, I haven't been practicing or walking in forgiveness because at some point I should be able to forgive for anything. At some point, I'm not saying we all be perfect in forgiveness, but I'm thinking about that, and I think my forgiveness, practicing it, I never thought about practicing in forgiveness. It did never dawn on me. And if we practice in our prayer life on a daily basis, we should also be practicing in forgiveness on a daily basis. If someone does something to you or not, it's still a requirement for us to forgive. And that's really all. I'm looking at it totally different now that you brought up practice. And that's all I got to say. That was a great lesson. I'm meditating on that practice and forgiveness.
Yes. Amen. 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 And the way we do that is through that relationship with Christ, with getting up in the morning. And I continue to put the challenge out there, getting up 10 minutes before you need to get up to spend with God. And as you read your word and as you go into prayer every day, and as you ask God for forgiveness, it's a reminder to you to forgive others. When you say, God, oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's a good opportunity to say, you know what? I forgive others. I forgive such and such because of what they did to me on today. It's you flow with it more as you get into that personal relationship with God as a disciple. As a disciple. As a disciple reading, having discipline to read and study the Word of God on a daily basis. Because like Elder Blue had said, we don't want to get before him and he say, you wicked servant. We want to get in front of him and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes,
what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. Not you wicked servant. And like he said, he's not going to ask you, well, what did Evangelist Stanton do to you? It was, how did you handle it? What did you do? What did you say? How did you react? How did you act when you got in the car? Did you cuss her out under your breath when you got in the car? Or did you say, you know what, I forgive her. I forgive her. He's going to ask you what you did. So tonight, I encourage each and every person that's listening, if you're holding on to something, give it to God. Give it to God in prayer. It's very simple. Father, I give you this hurt. I give you this pain. I give you this unforgiveness. I give you whoever it is. You can call their name because of the hurt that they caused me. And I've been holding on to unforgiveness. But right now, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them. Teach me to love like you love. Teach me to forgive like you forgive. Let your way be my way. Let your words be my words. Let your thoughts be my thoughts. I release them to you, and I forgive them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Elder Taylor, I'm going to turn it back over to you, sir. Thank you.
All right. All right. Well, there's a whole lot more you can add to this Bible study tonight. It was very provocative and profound and unforgiving, not being able to forgive, and how to get to the point where we can forgive and keep moving on with our lives. You know, and again, it's a reflection of your relationship with the Lord. And I believe that, you know, you have to have a good relationship with the Lord in order for you to have the ability to forgive and to practice it on a daily basis for, you know, for those of us that know we got unforgiveness in our heart. So we hope that someone got a nugget out of the Bible study tonight, and that you learned something tonight about yourself, or learned something about someone else that you might know. But the fact that you're listening, that's encouraging, and pray that you'll come back next week and listen to us next week. But we just want everybody just to enjoy themselves and get a nugget and get a deliverance word, a rhema word in your spirit, man, and be focused. And as Evangelist Stant was saying, you know, we got to practice doing certain things on a daily basis. You know, and prayer is one of them. Reading your Bible is one of them. Speaking and talking and communing with the Lord is another one. You know, it's something that we should be doing on a continual basis, on a daily basis, and that helps us to be able to forgive those that have done wrong unto us. Because forgiveness is for us; it's not for the person that we have an issue with or are against. Forgiveness is for us to improve our lives and to get through with our lives. So, with that said, I'm gonna allow the panel to do a brief comment. If anyone would like to do a brief comment, and then I'll take it back over and we'll pray out and dismiss for tonight. The panel, you would like to have? Oh, the Bluette, you got anything you would like to add?
No, I'm good, sir. Appreciate it. Great lesson.
All right, Minister Tolbert, you like to add anything?
Oh no, I'm good. It was an awesome lesson.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir. Elder Oliver, you like to add anything?
Just a great lesson, and as of now, I'm gonna start trying to walk in forgiveness on a daily basis, and not just when it comes to something serious. Then I need to, you know. But yeah, that was a great lesson. Evangelist, it really hit home with me. Thanks.
Amen.
All right. Well, we just want Evangelist Blewett, are you still on with us?
I am still on. Like everybody said, holding on to forgiveness not only and for you, but you can hold up your family's blessings. You can hold up your own blessings. you know, just forgive. I mean, let go and let die. And I believe that, I think it was verse, was it 23, where communication was the key to him, you know, erasing all of his debt. He wasn't trying to run from his obligation. You know, communicate what you can do and what you, you know, don't run away from your obligation. You know, answer the telephone when you owe somebody. And don't cop an attitude when you owe somebody just so you won't have to pay them back.
Okay. That's good. All right. Is that it? All right. Well, we just want to, again, thank everybody that's listening tonight. You know, we pray that you all got something out of the word that can help you in your growth and your walk with the Lord and continue to move on. I'm going to go over our Praise Tabernacle schedule as we do every night. D&K Bible Break is on Mondays on Chaos Block Talk Radio at 7 p.m. with Derek Oliver and his wife Keisha Oliver. Tuesdays is Praise Tabernacle Bible Study with me as your host, Elder Richard B. Taylor, and our panel. And we're on here every Tuesday at 7. And then on Thursdays is our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zachary, and their family. They're on Thursdays on, I believe, 7 p.m. On Chaos Block Talk Radio and Facebook Live. And then on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., Praise Tabernacle Sunday morning service with Bishop Omar and Lady Zachary and the praise team and our musicians and everyone on Facebook Live at 9 a.m. and I believe on Chaos Block Talk Radio as well. So we encourage you all that are listening, wherever you are, wherever you may be, that you be encouraged, have a good rest of the week as we read our Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. God bless you, and have a good rest of the week and a good night. Amen. You're dismissed.